Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Welcome back, Rock Movers. Today's guest is someone that I know you're going to be completely inspired by because the rocks she's moved have been so transformational. So join me in welcoming Vicki Paris Goodman. She's the author of To Sam With Love, A Surviving Spouse's Story of Inspired Grief. After the death in 2019 of her husband, Sam, who was the love of her life, she was unexpectedly flooded with optimism and presented with a host of possibilities for an exciting and meaningful future. Having lived most of her life in the Los Angeles area, Ms. Goodman now resides in Prescott, Arizona, as you can tell from her beautiful home, and she's currently writing her second book, Speed Bumps and Other Impediments to the Life in the Fast Lane. So joining me today is my beautiful friend with an amazing story, Vicki Paris Goodman. Welcome, Vicki, to the show.
Oh, thank you, Karen. I'm so pleased to be here. Thank you for having me.
We are so excited to have this conversation today. Our team was looking forward to it. And I know our community is just going to be so inspired because that is literally your whole mission, is this Inspired Grief, which is your website, inspiredgrief.com. So we know that that's probably the biggest rock that you face, but tell us a little bit about that, because that's always where we start, is what was that big rock that transformed everything?
Well, who knew that I would be completely changed as a human being as a result of my husband, Sam, passing away in 2019 from cancer? Yeah. You know, I knew life would change because the person I'd shared my home and my life with, you know, wasn't here, at least not physically anymore. Right. And I didn't think there would be much beyond my just having to cope with my new situation because I was raised very secular. I had begun to believe in a higher power, but I hadn't taken that very far. It was a very rudimentary faith, if you will. And then suddenly, on the very day Sam passed, it was like a helping hand was coming from somewhere outside myself to guide me. And I thought, oh, maybe Sam's in the afterlife. Maybe there is such a place. And maybe he is reaching over to help me. Mm. And then later on, I thought, I don't know if it's Sam. I think it's God. And the greatest thing that happened was I had access to meetings for the first year after Sam passed. About once a month, I was offered meetings with the hospice chaplain. Mm-hmm. And I immediately started asking her about the afterlife, and she recommended I read a story about a neurosurgeon, secular neurosurgeon, who had a near-death experience. And in reading his story, it was so convincing for me that it brought me the rest of the way to fully believing in God and an afterlife. And the insights and revelations and the opportunities that started coming my way made my experience so much better, so much more optimistic than I ever expected it to be. And it's been that way pretty much ever since.
So that is just such an amazing story and such a story of resilience where someone that's going through grief can find such hope externally, but then internally, because that's always with us. Externally can change, but when it becomes something that's a part of us, a part of our own internal dialogue, then that goes everywhere we go. So I love that that's kind of the message that you just shared, is this transformation of God being a part of this whole process. So what are you doing now that you've learned all of this being possible? How is that changed who you show up for the rest of the world and what you get to do today.
You know, one of the best and most powerful insights that I received of many actually came to me after I published To Sam with Love. So, and I'll share that with you. So To Sam with Love is really my experiences of life after Sam passed and all the wonderful things that happened, as you say, to give hope to others. But this insight that came to me, basically, in a nutshell, it is a question. Is death really tragic? And I thought, if you believe in God, in a loving God, and a beautiful beyond words afterlife, and if you know that God has a plan for each one of us, and that plan is very seldom for both people in a love relationship, let's say, a marriage, to pass away at the same time. How many couples both die in a car crash or a plane crash at exactly the same moment? Someone is always going to pass away first. And so if God's plan is to have my Sam pass away ahead of me, all it means is that his plan includes more experiences for me, more learning for me, and perhaps even for me to teach others. And it occurred to me that this is not a terrible thing. It's just a natural part of life. And there is no reason to think of it as tragic. In fact, maybe it's even a good thing. Stay with me here. Because
that's a total mind shift right there.
Yeah. Because if Sam is going to this beautiful place, awaiting me to join him there someday, I can't any longer see this as in any way tragic. And I want people to wrap their heads around this. So because it's not in the book To Sam with Love, because it came to me afterwards, I put it in three audio episodes that I have available for free online. And you really should go there to subscribe to those audio episodes. So some people have said after they hear this, they said, wow, this message should start a movement for so many people who would otherwise just ensconce themselves in deep grief that is painful and prolonged. This message could change everything for those people. So that's why I come on to shows like yours, Karen, as a guest in order to get this message out there. You know, I'm not a person who has ever really found a way to help others because of some things that happened in childhood that we need not go into. I've always been a little bit self-involved. And imagine my delight when all of this happened and I thought, oh, now this is a way to help others that really feels right to me. Like something I can do and something to get myself outside of myself. So it's been a transformation for me in that way, too.
Wow. So tell us more about the book and what someone that maybe is going through a grief or maybe they're going through a, you know, a very traumatic illness with someone anticipating this grief, or, you know, it's kind of extended, right? We feel grieving now as the process is going through. I know I did with my mom and her long-term illness. And so what can we anticipate to get from the book itself? Because I think that's really helpful for our listeners.
What I did with the book is I set it up roughly in thirds. The first third is Sam's life and a little of my own and our time together. And I did that because I wanted readers to know what a really fabulous man Sam was, so that in the middle portion of the book, when I describe his diagnosis, treatment, and ultimately his death, that's the most serious part of the book. So that when he did pass, people would really understand the magnitude of that loss, because he was so great. He was so funny, and he was such a good, decent human being. He believed in doing the right thing in every situation. And I think he lived up to that entirely. Mm. And it's not always easy to do that. The latter third of the book is my experiences after Sam passed. And really, overall, people have said, it is amazing, Vicki, how you managed to make this book uplifting and funny in places and just entertaining throughout. They said it was a book we couldn't put down. Mm. And since it was my first book, I was so delighted to hear that, because I didn't know how it would go over. Right. You know, I liked it, but yeah, everyone has loved the book. And so it. That's another reason I'm here, because if this book is helping people, and if it's a great read for anyone, whether they're going through a loss or not, I need to get it out there.
Yeah. So what can we expect in the second book, the speed bump?
Oh, that's
book?
Completely different. In fact, I finished it. Yeah, my bio says I'm writing it, but actually I finished it last week, and some friends and associates are reading it to give me feedback prior to publication. So it should be published probably by the end of this month, or for sure by the end of next month. And it's called Speed Bump.
So this is coming out in December. So by the time you see this, it may be already available. So will they be able to find this on your website also?
Yes, I will be putting it as soon as it's available on the website. Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
So, in fact, I may combine websites, because inspiredgrief.com doesn't exactly apply to the new book, which is called Speed Bumps and Other Impediments to Life in the Fast Lane. And it is a rather self-deprecating treatise on the trials of life from the point of view of a type A personality.
Can't relate to that at all.
I had a lot of fun poking fun at myself in this book.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. So I love that you have been able to find joy and humor again, because that in and of itself gives people hope. And I think the greatest gift that I have been able to receive from other people who have gone through tragedies or gone through hard times or gone through traumatic experiences is to see that there is light and hope and joy and life on the other side of this.
There really is. And there's no reason for the guilt people feel. You know, I think a lot of people who are grieving a particular way and for a particular length of time because they think they should. I think there are a lot of guilty shoulds around grief.
Yeah.
You know, when I was flooded with optimism on the day Sam passed, I thought, that's unseemly. What is going on here? And my first instinct was to push it away. But then I thought, you know, I was so strong during our 2-year ordeal from diagnosis to his passing. And I took such good care of him, which is not my nature to be a caregiver. But I took such good care of him at the end when he needed taking care of that I thought, you know, if good things want to come my way, even today, maybe I should let them. And it was the best decision I could have made, because it led me to all these other things that I've described. And so this guilt. Now, one of the insights I received was that souls in the afterlife are perfected by this all-encompassing, powerful love that surrounds them in the afterlife, a love we can't comprehend here on Earth.
True.
And if that's the case, then they are surely perfected to the point where they don't experience negative emotions like jealousy or anger or any of those things that make us feel on Earth as though we need to grieve a certain way or for a particular length of time. So I'm here to tell you, forget about the guilt if you possibly can, because there is no set way of grieving, and it doesn't do a disservice at all to the deceased if you move on faster than you thought you might, even immediately. It only means that you are being guided, and maybe you're allowing yourself to be guided as I was being guided, surely if this was available to me, it's available to others as well.
I love that. Such a gift, such a gift. So I know you have several stories from your book, your journey, this whole evolution of Vicky host, this change and this rock being moved. So I would love for you to share your favorite journey or favorite story rather in this journey that you feel would give the listeners today, which are primarily women, hope and maybe a little bit of laughter or inspiration in the process too.
Yeah, there were several things that happened. At first I thought they were coincidence, but after about the sixth or seventh one, I thought, ooh, something is going on here. So serendipitous events. And if you're observant and notice them, they can be quite comforting. So one thing that happened was I'm on my way to Sam's celebration of life that I was hosting a few weeks after he passed. And I'm almost to the venue where I'm going to be having this event.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's this funny little bright blue car in front of me. And it has a flower coming up from the roof, like a plastic flower. Sam's favorite flower had been sunflowers. He loved sunflowers. And this plastic flower that's bent back toward me. I can see what kind of flower it is. It's a sunflower. And I thought, I don't think I've ever seen a flower coming up from the roof of a car before, especially a sunflower. But, you know, I mean, and so it was just such a serendipitous thing. And I thought maybe one of my guests who's coming and knew that Sam's favorite flower was a sunflower. No, then this little cartoonish little bright blue car turns and isn't going toward the venue anymore. And I thought, what were the chances of that? And I said, sweetie, are you there? Letting me know you're with me on the day of your celebration of life. But I think if there's time for another one, there's actually something that may be very inspiring for others. Okay. So soon after Sam passed, I would go to bed, turn out the light. You know, you're laying in bed for a while before you fall asleep. And this smoky grayish white thing started kind of appearing. And it was most of the time so subtle, I thought, no, this is just a manifestation of my eyes getting accustomed to the dark or something. But sometimes it would be more vivid and kind of hard to ignore. And I thought, sweetie, is that you? You know, I'd be talking to Sam. So I didn't know what to make of this. And a few months later, after seeing this thing almost every night, a few months later, it changed color to a neon yellow green. And again, sometimes it was so subtle, I wasn't sure it was really there. I thought, oh, you're just imagining this. But there were a few times when it was so vivid, it was hard to ignore. And the fact that it had changed color so drastically, I thought, there's something to this. So after a year of this, seeing it almost every night, I'd been praying to God for the first time in my life. And so early in the day, I said to God, I said, listen, I am growing weary of wondering if the neon yellow green thing is a manifestation of Sam's soul visiting me. I just want to know whether it's him or not. And so I know I never ask you when I pray, I never ask you for things for myself. I don't know why. It just didn't seem right. So I said, but I'm going to make an exception to that. And I'm going to ask you to do something for me tonight. After I go to bed and turn out the lights, if it's Sam's soul, would you make it appear different somehow, like more vivid than ever and maybe move differently? Usually it just kind of floated around or kind of gently went in and out for about maybe a minute, and then it would kind of gently fade away, and it wouldn't appear for about 3 to 4 minutes after I turned out the lights. And I said, and if it's not Sam, would you just give me jet black so I know for sure that it hasn't been Sam all this time? So it's getting to be bedtime that night, and I'm thinking, what if I done? What if I get jet black? Am I really ready to find out this hasn't been Sam? But I thought, I can't stay awake forever. So I get into bed and I turn out the lights. And instead of waiting 3 or 4 minutes to appear, the neon yellow green thing is there immediately for the first time ever. And it is as bright as can be. Instead of moving gently around or in and out, it shoots across my view frantically about 3 or 4 times inside of maybe a second or two, and then gone. And I burst into tears and I thank God and I tell him I will never question the identity of the apparition again. And I'm still getting those visits over 5 years later, almost every night.
Wow.
But it's never appeared that way again. It's back to just, it was as if, they say souls have energy, and it was as if Sam expended all his energy. It was probably painful for him, I would imagine, to, you know, render this display that night to convince me it was him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that delightful, though, to think that that is even possible?
Yes. I mean, you know, I think of myself as the messenger of this message. Mm-hmm. None of it's coming from me. I think God has chosen me for maybe a number of reasons. You know, I speak fairly well. I write even better. And I started out so secular, which maybe adds some credibility to the stories and to the message. And, you know, it's also given me as a gift a way to do something outside of myself, which we talked about before. Uh-huh. So I think God's chosen me to get this message out there to help people.
Yeah. What a gift. And what a way to turn something that you could easily see as a really heavy traumatic rock, the loss of a spouse, into something that is a beautiful calling and purpose. Mm-hmm. I just think that's so beautiful. So as we begin to kind of finalize and wrap up today, what is the greatest lesson or message that you want to share with others beyond the book and beyond what you've already shared, just in addition to that?
Yeah, I actually have some sort of, you know, bringing this all back down to earth.
Yeah.
I have some tips for survivors. There were a couple of things that worked really well for me. Because as I was experiencing all these wonderful things, I was still grieving. You know, my life had changed a lot. So, you know, I would get kind of sad toward the end of the day. And I think, okay, that's all right. So what I did
was typical, right? The evenings are always harder because it's quiet.
Yes, I guess it is. For one thing, life didn't have much meaning for a while. I was having all this fun doing all these new things, like I started singing at karaoke and found out I could sing, and I started traveling to some really fun and exotic places. I was having the time of my life, but it was hard because nothing had any meaning. I'd come home like at the end of the day, for example, and I'd think I'd feel empty inside. But I instinctively knew that it was just going to be this way for a while, maybe for a long time. I was on the right path, but I needed to accept the fact that I had no one to share these things with anymore. Sam was not there to share things with, at least not in the way I was used to him being there to share things with.
Right.
So one thing I did was I struck a balance between all these activities and fun new experiences and quiet time. Some people were telling me, just keep yourself as busy as possible so you don't have time to think or feel. I knew that was bad advice, however well-intended. I struck a balance between the activities and the quiet time. The quiet time is needed to process what's happened to your life when you lose someone who means everything to you. So that is the best advice I can give. And also, if you feel like I did, the guidance is coming your way. Embrace it. Let yourself be led. It worked for me. It I think it's available to everyone if they open themselves to it.
And would you also say that many people, or several people, I guess, struggle with, like, even in, you know, the case of an illness, but just survivor's guilt. So that guilt of, I'm the one here, it should have, and I say this because my dad did. My mom passed from a dementia-related illness, and my dad keeps saying, it should have been me. And it's been 10 years, 11 years now, actually, since mom passed. And so he has struggled and has not been able to get over the fact that mom passed first and move into this allowing himself to be happy. He just hasn't been able to let go of the guilt that he was the one that didn't, that survived. Not like they were in a car wreck or anything, but just that has been so traumatic for him. Which is a pattern from his life, what he grew up with, parents being the same way. But do you see that also, that those that survive the loss of someone really close struggle to let themselves be happy again?
Yeah, I think I touched on that earlier, and there's a lot more of that in the audio episodes. Maybe you should recommend to your dad that he listen to those episodes, and maybe read the book too, but especially the audio episodes. They're free, they cost nothing, and they're just helpful, I think, because they go into a lot more depth about the things we touched on today, Karen. And I think they might be helpful to your dad. I hope.
Thank you.
They will be.
Thank you. Yeah, he's 91 and really just, you know, I'm a coach. I've even tried to help him, provide him all kind of mindset reset things. And he has chosen to see the world through this lens and not consider that there's another way. So I'm not sure how else to help him, but I would love to share those resources with him. Hopefully my brother can assist him. He's not super tech savvy. We struggle with that big time. But
tell you what, I'll email the episodes to you so that.
Okay, that might be easier.
I'll do that.
Just navigating to make a phone call on his phone is challenging some days.
I'll send
them to you. I think Dad's just kind of progressing in his own illness. So. I love all of this. It's just so filled with hope and inspiration. And I know our listeners will pick up on that as well. How can they best, other than your website, which I will share again, inspiredgrief.com, how else can they best connect with you? Do you have a YouTube channel? Do you have on social media? Like, what is the best place to hang out with Vicki Goodman?
Yeah. Well, if they go to inspiredgrief.com, they can subscribe to the audio episodes by just putting in their email address. They can get the best pricing on To Sam With Love, the book, right at that same page if they scroll down a little bit. If they go to VickiParisGoodman.com, I think there might be one at Inspired Grief too. They probably don't even have to go to the other website.
Okay.
I think everything is at inspiredgrief.com. They can contact me there. I think there's a contact link, if I'm not mistaken. I should look to make sure. But yeah, so I think it's all there. And there's also a button to my blog, which has some interesting articles on it, insightful articles.
I love it.
All there.
Well, you just provided so many resources and such a much needed light in a world that can feel very heavy and very dark. So thank you for being that, for moving those rocks for people, for making such a difference. And I love saying, and this is true, especially for you, that rocks are going to come, life is going to happen, and people are going to go through things. But with people like you in the world, they just don't have to go through them alone. So thank you for being there for everyone.
Right. You're so welcome. And let me just say one last thing. Mm-hmm. You know, this message really applies to all adversity in life, not just loss.
That's true.
God is trying to teach us things, and I think we'd best be observant so that we can get those intended takeaways. I think it's really important to look at adversity as an opportunity. It's not always easy.
Yeah, I love it. There's always something to learn, and something that can, some good that can come out of everything. We find what we're looking for and what we choose to find. So I love it. Thank you so much, Vicki, for being with us today. And thank you for listening to this episode of The Rock Movers. We'll see you on the next one. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did. And I hope that you got something super valuable. So just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course, short 5 modules. It's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So use VIP2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to The Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.